Don't touch that dial. It's the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson.
Daniel Gross with the Greenville News joins me for a few minutes this morning.
Thanks for having me, Joey.
Drew McKissick, chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party.
Good morning, Joey.
Michael Joyce, deputy press secretary for the Republican National Committee.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Get caught up on what happened while you were sleeping with breaking news, weather, and traffic. Welcome to the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Welcome in on this Thursday morning. Glad to have you along. Thank you for spending a few minutes of your morning with me. And as I've been promoting this week, I'm broadcasting day a little bit different. If I sound a little different, maybe you hear just a bit of a hum in the background. That's the generator that we're operating off of in our little FEMA bunker up atop Paris Mountain as we demonstrate our responsibilities as a FEMA-designated PEP station, primary entry point station, where we would stay on the air in the event of a natural disaster or a national emergency. Of course, yesterday we remembered 9/11, and that demonstrates the need for such capability so that we would be able to keep you informed of how to keep your family safe, where to get supplies, just what to do in the event of a devastating attack or a hurricane. You know, the people in the Bahamas are experiencing that right now. The official death toll right now is 50, yet there are over 2,500 people who are unaccounted for. Communication is a big problem down there because everything, there's no cell phone service in areas. And that's what we experienced in 9/11. Manhattan, parts of New Jersey, you couldn't make a phone call. So that's our responsibility as a primary entry point designated FEMA station so that we could stay on the air, keep you informed of just what to do. I've been mentioning all morning, every family needs to have a checklist. You need to have an emergency kit. Text KIT, K-I-T, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405. I'm going to send you a link, and it'll take you to the South Carolina Emergency Management Division's site, and you can print this out, and you need to go through this checklist and have every item on the list. And one of the important things is just a simple battery-operated transistor radio so that you can hear me tell you what you need to do. With me, State Senator Dwight Loftus. We're actually in his State Senate district here atop Paris Mountain. Dwight, you were in radio years ago, and a lot of people listened to you on those simple little battery-operated transistor radios.
That's true, and I think about you in the morning when I turn the radio on or the radio comes on and wake up and you're on the air. I think about those days when I got up with the chickens, you know, before the chickens and got down here.
Yeah. In your role as a state legislator, of course, part of that is our state's budget, and you guys have to decide how to spend our state tax dollars responsibly, but to have us ready for emergencies, and that's part of the budget. We talked a minute ago. The South Carolina Emergency Management Division, they have this facility in West Columbia. It's sort of the I describe it as, if you watch the TV series 24, it's kind of like that. You know, the monitors on the wall, but that's where even last week, as we were watching Hurricane Dorian approach our state, everybody was in place over there trying to decide what actions need to be taken, helping the governor decide when to issue the evacuation order and all. You guys have to fund that. You spend time thinking about how much money to spend where, right?
That's right. And they've done a very good job, I think, and the preparedness is the answer to this. And you mentioned the schools a while ago. That's the thing there, the training, know what to do in a case of emergency and that sort of thing. I think South Carolina's doing a great job in that direction with emergency management.
Yeah. You know, it's easy, and I was talking with Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt. She was with me a few minutes ago, and we're talking about we've had evacuations several times over the past few years, and it's almost like it's easy to have evacuation fatigue. If you're on the coast, there's nothing convenient about having to pack up, get your home prepared, and leave. And a lot of people, I'm afraid, probably last week, thought, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to leave this time. I'm going to ride it out. I think overall they pretty much listened to the governor and they responded the way they should. But that's certainly something that you have to think about.
Well, you operate on the concern of caution. I mean, you operate on the side of caution, and it's better to be safe.
Yep.
And sure.
Oh, yeah. And you certainly don't want to be one of those people, you know, and we've seen this before as well, where storms are so unpredictable.
Correct.
And we've seen 26 literally bumper to bumper of people trying to get inland to safety because they waited to the last minute. Yeah.
Too
late. All right. State Senator Dwight Loft is with me. I asked you the question a minute ago before we went to our news break there. Of course, Florida recently passed legislation that allows teachers to be armed. You spent many years on the Greenville County School Board, education especial. You spent a lot of time in the legislature on education causes. You've been very supportive of school resource officers. Let's talk for a minute. Has this idea of having teachers armed, has it been brought up? Is it something that South Carolina may consider in the future?
I think I know it's been brought up, and that's one of the considerations that you have for school safety. But, and I'm not in disagreement with that concept. I mean, that is an option out there. However, the situation there is how are the firearms going to be contained in a safe place? And then you got to consider that the teacher is going to have much more training than CWP or something like that. Just like a police officer who controls a crisis situation and they go through training. We have fire drills in school now. We're going to have drills for that sort of thing.
Sure.
And there's a lot more to it because when a crisis occurs, it's not just a teacher, it's the panic of the students, and how do you deal with that? And,
exactly.
So that's a concern, and I don't know exactly how Florida handles that, but those are the things that you've got to be concerned about.
Yep. It's my understanding that the teachers, it's more than just the typical CWP, if you will, but they have to have special training. And look, I can understand that a parent might be a little hesitant knowing that a teacher might be armed, but look, if there's a shooter in that school, I would probably feel better knowing that some of those teachers may be. Because we saw it in Parkland, where the school resource officer was on the other side of the school, and even one of the police officers responding waited outside. If a student had been, if a teacher had been armed in that case, maybe it would have stopped him a little earlier.
Well, it would, and it goes back to what I say about that, a training. You have the police officers know their job, know what they're to do, and that's a big responsibility on the teacher and a liability on the teacher too. And I'm not opposed to it at all, but there's a lot of thought needs to go into it.
Yeah, State Senator Dwight Loft, it's always good to have you. Thank you for spending a few minutes.
Thank you.
Thanks for venturing up on top of the mountain.
Oh, good.
This morning.
Good to see the sunshine.
Seeing our little FEMA bunker up here. Up next, I'm going to be joined by a couple of guys who are literally at ground zero at the county level. These guys, Jay Merritt with the Greenville Emergency Management Office and George McKinney with Greenwood. George made the drive this morning to visit with us. These are the guys at the local level who help prepare us at the county level. We'll talk with them in a few minutes. You can still text KIT, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405 and get that checklist for your family. It's 814 here on 94.5 The Answer.
It's a primitive past.
The Morning Answer on 94.5 The Answer.
Whether you're a contractor or do-it-yourself type, when it comes to natural stonework and hardscaping, there's no one better than the team over at Big Rock. You owe it to yourself. Run by today. They're conveniently located at 4709 Augusta Road. That's just across 85 as you're headed out of downtown Greenville. Just look for South Carolina's largest stone yard and let the team at Big Rock help you get started on that dream project. Maybe it's a makeover of your patio area. Maybe you've been wanting that brand new outdoor living area with that outdoor fireplace or a fire pit or a blazing boulder. When you go to Big Rock, ask them about those blazing boulders. You can't miss them out front out there. Regardless of your project, the team at Big Rock, they're going to help you every step of the way as you create that dream project in your backyard. Realtor.com says that outside is the new inside, and more than ever, we want that outdoor space to blend seamlessly with our indoors. The team over at Big Rock, they've been supplying the best variety and the best quality of stone, as well as that expert service and advice they've become so well known for all over the Southeast and for many, many years. So whether you're an architect, a builder, or a contractor, or you just want to improve your home's outdoor living area, you can count on Big Rock for all things stone and hardscape. Run by, check out the newly renovated Big Rock showroom. You can also find them online at GoBigRock.com. GoBigRock.com. 15 past the hour here on 94.5 The Answer.
Y'all have a great show, and I got hooked on your station driving through Anderson and all, and now I listen to you on my app.
I do love riding to work with you every morning and getting a good perspective on the news as well as the Christian perspective, too. So thank you for what you do.
Long-time listener every morning. I appreciate your stance on liberty, law, and religion.
Hey, Upstate, it's time to wake up. Here's the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
It's a beautiful day.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you peace of mind with one of their reliable Generac power generator products backed by world-class service and support. And if you hear that low hum in the background, that's our generator. It's keeping us on the air today as we demonstrate how we can stay on the air in the event of a natural disaster or a national emergency. Of course, we remembered 9/11 yesterday, and so many of the communication equipment was out yesterday or in 2001 after that devastation, after we were attacked. Yesterday we remembered that, and we remembered all the struggles that the people in Manhattan and parts of New Jersey went through. And that's that was sort of when this concept was thought of, to have a way to communicate with the people. And so you can keep it here on 94.5 The Answer, and we should be able to let you know what you and your family should do, where you should be, where you can get supplies, and just what to do in the event that you couldn't use your cell phone. And believe it or not, that could happen. Maybe even your landlines. People are experiencing this today in the Bahamas, where they have just total devastation in areas of the Abacos and Grand Bahama Island. And that's an example of where we would be able to stay on the air and be able to keep you informed. Text KIT, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405. I'm going to send you a link to the South Carolina Emergency Management Division. They have a great checklist of things that you and your family should have. So if you'll just text the keyword KIT, K-I-T, I'm going to send you that link. Take a minute today, print that out, and be sure that you have those items in your home. And one of those items is very simple. It's a battery-operated radio, so that while I'm up here in this concrete bunker telling you what to do, you can hear me. So many of you, you listen on your smartphone and other devices, but you wouldn't be able to do that in some cases. So get you a nice battery-operated radio. Join me for a few minutes, Jay Merritt with the Greenwood County Emergency Preparedness, George McKinney with the Greenwood County. Guys, thanks for making your way up the mountain here. You guys, you're literally at ground zero at the local level, because Jay in Greenville, George in Greenwood, you guys are making sure that, that the citizens in your respective counties are ready. And let's start with you, Jay. Of course, today is a bit of a simulation just to show that we can be on air using our generator, and that this transmitter and all works in this little concrete bunker here. But let's talk for a minute about the other things that you guys do to better prepare for an emergency.
Just like y'all exercised this today, we are continually exercising with our partners in the community, whether it be the law enforcement, EMS, or fire, or even private industry, to make sure that we're prepared for response day in and day out. So you're doing this today. We do this week in and week out with different entities throughout the county.
And, George, it takes a lot of partnerships. There are a lot of people involved, and that's sort of your job, too, is to coordinate those efforts, right?
Correct. I think one of the biggest jobs that we have is creating those relationships early on, establishing those, and maintaining those, too. And like Jay was saying, doing exercises and preparing, but it's also working towards not just for the initial response, but also what are you going to do on recovery. Recovery is going to probably be the bigger event that occurs.
Yeah.
We do respond response quite often in lots of cases of stuff. So we're pretty well good with that. But that recovery side, you need to be prepared on that backside too. Because like you say, after, you know, you need to be prepared for 3 days to kind of sustain yourself. But then you also making sure you've got flood insurance, making sure you've got different types of things that help you recover faster and bounce back. And that's what we do with our business relationships and resiliency and helping them plan and how they can recover fast, because that's a big important part.
And that's a good point. And we're seeing that, as I mentioned, in the Bahamas right now. As of last night, the official death toll was 50. We're told that there's over 2,500 people unaccounted for. Unfortunately, I'm afraid many of those, you know, we may never know what happened. But how do you, first of all, you know, what's the response? I mean, how do you guys coordinate with the other first responders and all? I mean, I can't imagine literally sifting through debris like that. Jay, is that something that you prepare for and you talk about?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Every county has an emergency operations plan, and that dictates how each piece of the puzzle comes together for a large-scale response. And going back to the exercise piece, we exercise that operations plan and make sure everybody knows their roles and responsibilities and is comfortable and can actually do what they're expected to do in that plan. And that goes all the way from our first responder community all the way to our nonprofits like the Red Cross and folks that help us, because every piece of the puzzle comes from that plan and from all aspects that people probably generally don't think about would come into play.
They all play a part, and you mentioned nonprofits, the Salvation Army, the Red Cross. There are a lot of great nonprofits out there that would play a big role in a situation like this.
Absolutely. We call on those partners week in and week out to help provide support for us on events that we're dealing with on a smaller scale level. And to go back to what George said about the relationships definitely build mission or equate to mission success. Without the relationships, I heard on the way up you were talking about you can't do it on the battlefield. You can't meet up the day of. You have to have this in place ahead of time or it's going to be a struggle.
Right. George, do you do things and prepare for things maybe differently in Greenwood than maybe Jay does in Greenville?
I would say yes. There's some idiosyncrasies, if you will, for each county, because we all have different hazards and stuff that we may look at. So we do a little different, but in the end, it's all about being prepared, doing those exercises, training, making sure individuals, and not just those responders that are there, but also the citizens understand what they need to do in response as well. I don't know if anybody's ever watched it or heard of it, but the Great Boat Lift of 9/11, if you haven't seen that, that is a great example of citizens helping citizens. And that's something that we at government would probably, I know in Greenwood, we don't have that boat lift. So, but, you know, you have those type things. And it's important for them to look at that and understand what they can do as well.
Yeah. And I've been mentioning all morning, guys, this checklist that's on the state website. And again, let me remind you, if you haven't already, just text KIT, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405. I'm going to send you a link. I want you to go to that link today. I want you to download and print that checklist, because, as you mentioned, you can't wait for it to happen. You need to be prepared. And it's important for people to have that family emergency kit in their home where they know where it is and they can access it, right?
Right, absolutely. We can't express enough how important that is, because in the event of a very large scale event, it may be a little while before the first responders are able to get to you. So having the responsibility of knowing what to do to keep you and your family and maybe even your neighbors, if you have any vulnerable neighbors, safe and in place until you can get the help.
I'm told that, guys, that I could be up here 30 to 45 days from this little building where we're sitting today. We have enough diesel fuel for our generators. They have me boxes of MREs over here. They tell me there's a bacon and cheese omelet over there somewhere in one of those boxes.
Great.
But that's the whole idea. Have it all here in place so that literally if something happens and I can't broadcast from our studio on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville, I can make my way up here and be in this little room and be here so that we can stay on the air and keep people informed. What are some of the situations, George, that you guys prepare for in Greenwood?
One of the big things is a hazardous material spill. We have lots of industry as well as railroads that come through. So that's one of the biggest things that we prepare for in Greenwood. And we do that through working with the different response agencies and the businesses. We have a local emergency planning committee. We work through them and with the citizens as well, and making sure that everybody's aware of what's going on. So we do a lot of that. So I think it's important to work with the citizens and those non-governmental entities, because they are 90% of what's going to be out there whenever we do stuff. So.
Yeah. And some of the natural disasters, of course, that we see here, obviously last week we were all watching Hurricane Dorian and what that may bring to us, but tornadoes, winter storms, ice and snow, those types of things, right, Jay?
Absolutely. And in Greenville, we prepare for everything, but the winter storms are a big thing. You know, when we lose the power, and I know the upstate has made a great initiative to bury some of the power lines to alleviate some of that, and that's a great mitigation thing to look forward to and to prevent those things from happening.
Yeah, Jay Merritt and George McKinney, thank you both for coming up this morning and spending a few minutes of your morning with us. There's coffee and all in there. I won't make you eat one of the MREs, I promise. There's some good food in the other building. But thank you for what you do to keep our counties prepared in the event. And again, God forbid, we pray that we never have to use it, but it's good to know, it's comforting to know that it's there if needed.
Thanks for having us, Joey.
Thank you both.
Thanks
for
y'all partnering, too, for this.
Sure thing. Sure thing. It's 8:30 here on 94.5 WGTK.
Thank you.
It's the nicest way to start your day.
Thanks. I said thank you.
THANKYOU. Thank you.
Thank you. Back to the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
It is Thankful Thursday, and we haven't had a lot of time this morning to talk about Thankful Thursday. It's something we started a while back, and with this special broadcast from the atop Paris Mountain in our FEMA bunker, we haven't had a chance to do that. We'll get back to Thankful Thursday next week, but we do have a lot to be thankful for, and that's part of our broadcast today. Thankful that we're able to prepare to be ready in the event that we have a natural disaster or a national emergency. As we remembered, of course, 9/11 yesterday, a lot of stories being told. Many of you shared your personal stories of where you were that day and what you were doing and what you remember. Portions of today's show brought to you by Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you peace of mind with one of their reliable Generac power generator products backed by world-class service and support. And if you hear a bit of a hum in the background, it's because we have our generator operating right now. That's how we are providing power and staying on the hour on the air, just to again demonstrate that we can do so in the event of a national disaster or a national emergency of some sort. Joining me again, A.T. Smith, and a special guest, Sheriff Johnny Mac Brown. Sheriff, always good to see you. Thank you for making your way up Paris Mountain.
So I made my way up to Paris Mountain.
There you go. And A.T., good to have you back in as well. Sheriff, a little while ago, I was talking with A.T., of course. He started working in the sheriff's office a number of years ago, then had a very successful career with the Secret Service, and was in D.C. on 9/11.
That's great.
And,
yeah.
And we're talking about how they responded and the things that they had to do to protect not only the first family, members of Congress, and just the general D.C. area. Of course, you were in law enforcement on 9/11 as well. Talk with us a minute about the local response and what you guys were doing here in Greenville, South Carolina.
Well, you know, Joey, I'd actually retired in January of 2001. I was working at Greenville Tech, and I remember that morning I was teaching a class there, and I'd walked to make some copies of a paper in the office, and there was TV in there, and I was just making copies, and I looked up at the TV, and that's when I saw the plane hit the one of the towers, and of course it was frightening to the sense that we were under attack, and that's what everybody believed.
Well, and we just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
What the response should be. And Tommy, that was one of the things that there was a lot of confusion in those first hours.
There was. And, you know, as I said earlier, the president was in Florida initially, and we had to make a lot of decisions about where he went that day and coordinate with not only the Air Force with regard to Air Force One, but certainly the White House staff and so forth. It turned out that day that the First Lady, Mrs. Bush, was up at the Capitol. And so, again, we had to secure her very quickly. And for a period that day, for several hours, we actually brought her back to Secret Service headquarters where we knew she would be safe because the White House was a target that day as well. And then that just highlights what we're talking about now, and that is the coordination and the interface between federal agencies like the Secret Service and local agencies like the Sheriff's Office. And quite frankly, the Secret Service could not do its work or its mission without the assistance of local law enforcement, and we interface in that way on a daily basis.
Well, and people think about the Secret Service as those guys with the dark suits and the dark glasses that follows the president and the first family around, but there are Secret Service agents right here in the upstate.
There is. There is a regional office right here in Greenville. There's actually about 9 agents. Most folks wouldn't know that. There's a field office in Columbia and then another regional office in Charleston. So you have about 30 Secret Service agents here in South Carolina performing both sides of the Secret Service mission. Most people do think of only protecting the president or the VIPs, but there is a very healthy investigative mission, and that's actually why the Secret Service was created at the close of the Civil War to suppress counterfeiting. So there's financial investigations and criminal work that's done by the Secret Service as well.
And Sheriff Brown, you guys work closely with the Secret Service in those counterfeiting situations.
Well, we have a very close relationship with Secret Service, not only in counterfeiting, but they have other areas that really really help us in like telephones and
cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity. So we work good with all federal partners, and I have no problem with any federal agency, and whatever they want us to do, we will respond.
Yeah, and that's really a big part of the partnership, Sheriff Brown. And again, you've been in law enforcement a long time. You mentioned earlier you retired. I don't think Johnny Mac Brown ever retires.
I retired.
You're like the Energizer Bunny, you know.
You
just keep on going. You went on to a great career as a U.S. Marshal,
right?
And now back in the sheriff's office. But you know, it does take that partnership, that local state and federal partnership for law enforcement to be effective.
Well, it's amazing. When Vice President Pence came in a couple of weeks ago, Secret Service called us, and we corresponded with them. We did what they asked us to do, and you know, shutting off roads or watching overpasses. And so it's just you don't even think about it. You just respond when they request you.
Exactly. And that visit, and I was part of that. I was over in Anderson at Jeff Duncan's event that day. And that's a good example, Sheriff, because as I was driving over to Anderson, there were actually DNR officers at the rivers,
right,
at the Saluda River when I crossed over. They had DNR officers on those bridges.
Well, we wasn't sure where the vice president was coming in, whether he's coming into Donaldson or coming into Anderson. And so when we found out he was coming, the plane was landing in Donaldson, it changed a little bit the route we were going. And so Secret Service is a agency that at our request does a lot of things for us.
And I was just going to add, you know, 9/11, since that's what we're talking about today, that changed the complexion of everything. And what you just said you saw for the visit of the vice president, prior to 9/11, you wouldn't have seen that sort of activity or that sort of coverage. You know, prior to 9/11, there wasn't always magnetometer support and a lot of the EOD support that we now have to do because of the world we live in for even the vice president and some of the lower-level protectees.
Yeah. Well, everything has changed. With me this morning, Sheriff Johnny Mac Brown, A.T. Smith, A.T., retired deputy director of the Secret Service. And a good point there, because everything changed with the way we live our daily lives. I mean, back then when I would go over to GSP to take a trip, I mean, my family could go with me and walk to the gate and see me off, you know. And now you have to go through the TSA agent. So our entire lives change as a result of that.
Well, Joey, the thing that, if there's anything you learn from 9/11, the commission that studied the 9/11, one of their recommendations was, had the two law enforcement agencies in charge of terrorists talked to each other, 9/11 may not have occurred.
Yeah.
And so that woke all up in law enforcement, that you got to cooperate, that you got to, you got to work with each other to make sure that the county's safe, the state's safe, and the nation is safe.
And the sheriff's exactly right. The 9/11 Commission pointed that out. You know, the agencies that we're talking about, the FBI, the CIA, they weren't talking like they are now. Yeah. Still not a perfect world, but they're certainly about 95% of the way there, and that makes a lot of difference in terms of the safety of the Americans, and that's really the essence of it.
Well, and that's just a prime example of learning from our mistakes.
Absolutely.
And opening the line of communications. And again, that's why we do things like we're doing today. We practice, we learn, we communicate with one another to try to improve, to keep everybody much safer. Sheriff Johnny Mack Brown, always good to see
you.
Thank you,
Joey.
Good to see you as well. And thank you both for your service. I just admire people in law enforcement, what you do for us each day. When you get up, you put your uniform on. In your case, Sheriff, you put that nice tie you have on there.
Right, yeah.
But you guys have had long, distinguished careers in law enforcement, and I thank you.
Thank you, Joey.
Yep. Up next, we're going to be visited by our daily visit with Mike Gallagher. Let's see what's coming up with the Mike Gallagher show. And, of course, we'll continue with your phone calls and your texts as time permits. If you haven't already, text KIT, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405. Just the word KIT, K-I-T, and let me send you the link. You need this checklist that the South Carolina Emergency Division has put together. Things that you need in your home in the event of a natural disaster or a national emergency. We continue our broadcast here atop Pierce Mountain from the FEMA PEP bunker. Back in a moment. It's 8:45 on 94.5 The Answer.
It's the Morning Answer on 94.5 The Answer.
Let me talk with you for a minute about the folks over at Precision Pro Wash. And what I want to talk with you about today is not only what great work they do, because they are professionals to the end, but they're just great to work with. They're just good people. They came out to my home back in the spring. They cleaned my metal roof, which, by the way, was absolutely nasty, covered in dirt, tree gum, algae. It was in bad shape. They not only cleaned the metal roof, but they finished it with a coating that helped keep the roof cleaner for much longer. It's kind of like a car wax, I guess you could say. Then they cleaned my siding, my sidewalks, and more. I can't begin to tell you just how impressed I was with the teamwork and the professionalism of Precision Pro Wash. I had the pleasure of sitting down and speaking with Pat Clark. He's the owner. He's the founder of Precision Pro Wash. And I learned firsthand why this company has grown so much over the last few years. Pat and his wife have grown this company with the help of some amazing people. What a team they have at Precision Pro Wash. They set the bar very high on integrity and professionalism, and that's evident in their performance. Check them out at precisionprowash.com. That's precisionprowash.com. 14 before the hour here on 94.5 The Answer.
Hey, Upstate, it's time to wake up. Here's the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Be sure and visit our website, 945theanswer.com. While you're there, become an Answer Insider and download our mobile app. Just text the keyword iPhone or Android to 877-235-9405, and I'll send you a quick link so that you can take your favorite talk radio station anywhere in the world. And glad to have you along on this Thursday morning as we continue this special broadcast here in our, I'm calling it our FEMA bunker atop Paris Mountain, as we demonstrate how we would stay in touch with you in the event of a national emergency, a natural disaster, or whatever. We, of course, last week we were watching as Hurricane Dorian made its way towards the Carolinas, not knowing whether or not we would be hit, and if we had been, just like the Bahamas, those folks down there, just a horrific devastation. Last night, the official death toll was 50. We're told that there are in excess of 2,500 people who are still missing. Communications are down. Homes are completely destroyed. And that's, God forbid, if we found ourselves in that situation here in upstate South Carolina or western North Carolina, northeast Georgia, that would be an instance to where we would come up to this FEMA PEP station, and we would stay in touch with you to keep you informed of what you need to do to keep your family safe, where services could be provided. So glad to have you along. If you haven't already this morning, be sure and text KIT, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405, and I'll send you a quick link so that you can download that emergency checklist that the South Carolina Emergency Management Division has for you. These are things that you and your family need to have readily available in the event of an emergency situation. And one of those things, very important, is just a simple battery-operated radio, so that in the event that I did have to make my way up to Paris Mountain in a real emergency, you'd be able to hear me. You may not be able to listen on your smartphone. Just text KIT, K-I-T, to 877-235-9405. I'll send you a link so that you can download and print that checklist so that you and your family, you're ready for any emergency. Mike Gallagher joining us for a few minutes to give us a brief insight into what we can expect on the Mike Gallagher
show. Well, you had me all panicked yesterday because you got my jeans all in a wad when you told me the text messaging thing got changed.
Well,
and
it
ours
did.
Didn't get changed. Well, now ours has changed, and now so yes. I'm screaming at Eric. See, Joey's right. It's terrible.
It looks different, doesn't it?
But it's better. It's better. It scrolls
quicker.
Well,
yes, better, but when, look.
Well, he pointed out you had it set up wrong. He said you guys had it set wrong. You
well,
and Tommy
no,
K
no,
had
listen.
It all set up wrong.
Here,
you
hey,
had the wrong template.
Don't drag me into this.
Yeah, well you know, I log in yesterday morning, Gallagher, at 5 minutes before 6, and I didn't have someone give me a heads up. I just went into this cold, okay?
Yeah, but see, here's what you do. Everybody thinks you're so nice. Everybody thinks, oh, Joey,
we're
so
gonna
sweet.
We're going to go down that road again.
Here's what you did. You said, oh, the new text, oh, it's terrible. I can't scroll the way I did before. You're going to hate it. Get ready. So I'm already tense. I get through the show yesterday. It didn't change. I thought, well I don't know, maybe it changed in South Carolina, but not in Florida or New York. Then today I come in. It is all changed. I flipped out because of your voice in my head. And Eric said, relax, look at it. And he started scrolling and showing me the text is better, the fonts are better.
After I told Eric how to set it up.
He told me he had to tell you how to set it up.
Oh,
he told me you guys had it
Maybe.
Set up the wrong way. He Maybe. Thinks it was Tommy and Joey's fault. So yeah. I'm just saying.
I'm blaming it on Tommy. It's
hey,
Tommy's fault.
I don't even
but
do
what's
anything
cool,
with the text line.
But what's cool is whether it's your show or my show, I love it when people text us. We also have a new feature that we borrowed from you guys. We're catching up to 94.5 The Answer, and that is now people can call my show beginning at 905. At 800-655-MIKE, and they can either come on air with me if they press 1, or they can leave a message when they press 2, just like you guys have done for a while. So
Right. Thank
you for that. We get all this listener feedback. I mean, like this one. I love this, like this caller who said this on our 800-655-MIKE line.
It's amazing. We have a member of Congress who says some people did something bad. Yeah, I hope she's watching TV today.
So that's the kind of comment that people leave us. When you press option 2, thanks to Joey Hudson, Tommy, and the suggestion of 94.5 WGTK, The Answer.
See, there we have a good idea every now and then.
Once in a while, even a stop clock is right twice a day. So, hey, did you see, on a serious note, did you see the guy yesterday during the reading of the names who blasted Ilhan Omar? He's going to be with us today. He's going to join us.
Really?
Yep, Nick Harris Jr.
What time?
11:45. His mom was killed in the towers on 9/11. He blasted Ilhan Omar over that some people did something comment. He wore a T-shirt that with the words some people did something, and he really gave it to her. He's going to join us this morning at 11:45. Looking forward to meeting him because that guy, he's my hero.
It was amazing. He's my hero as well. But here's the thing, too, Mike, though. He did it, I'm going to say, kind of in a respectful way. I mean, you know, he did it in such a way he got his point across, and it made you sit there and think. And evidently it made her think as well because, you know, she tweeted yesterday. She has
did.
A bit of a different attitude now.
She finally has seen the light, perhaps, and had some very poignant comments of her own about the enormity of 9/11. It's about time. Now, she'll go back to business as usual after this, but at least she did the right thing yesterday.
Yeah.
And we got to be grateful for that. How about the debate tonight? You got the popcorn out? You ready? Of course, she'll be in bed at 6 o'clock tonight. You won't be watching it. You'll be asleep.
Tommy and I are having a debate watch party.
Are you having a party? It's a lonely party, man.
Yep. Hey, I've been holed up in this bunker all morning long in this little concrete building.
Yeah, how is it going? Is it air conditioned, right?
It is air conditioned. Very nice. Good. Yes.
Very nice. Remind me not to have to go to the bunker next time I come to the Upstate, okay? I don't like the sound of bunker.
This is the new Gallagher studio for when
please,
you're in town.
Please, please, please. No, but it sounds great.
With as many MREs as you can eat.
All kidding aside, it's good to know that you know that in the event of an emergency, weather, 94.5 WGTK, the answer will be there for you. That's very encouraging. And Joey Hudson will be there as well.
That's for sure.
Maybe Mike Gallagher.
Thank you, Mike Gallagher. Have a great show, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Happy Thursday. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, Mike Gallagher, 9 until noon. Thank you for spending a few minutes of your morning. A special thanks to our friends at Carolina Generators. Don't be left in the dark. Let Carolina Generators give you peace of mind with one of their reliable Generac Power generator products. You probably heard that hum throughout the morning. We've been on generator power all morning. Glad to have you along. Be sure and text KIT to 877-235-9405 and download that emergency list for you and your family. I'm back in the regular studio tomorrow. Until then, just be happy because God's in control.